Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our new series of studies, Knowing Christ. And we said on our broadcast, we're spending our time in the epistle of Hebrews. And we wish to refer that again to Hebrews again today. Now, on our last broadcast, we talked about knowing Christ as our captain, our leader, and as our deliverer. Today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to talk about him as our apostle and high priest. And I'm going to refer you to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, if you're following in your Bibles, verse 1, where we read, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." He is our apostle and is our high priest. And we appreciate this when we consider the chapter that immediately has gone before, chapter 2, where we were studying last week. We saw that he was our apostle in the sense that he was sent out from God. The word apostle means, actually, one that is sent. One that is sent on a mission, one is sent as an ambassador, and one is sent as a minister. And Christ is all of these. He was sent from God. We read in 1 John 4 and 10, those lovely words, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So you see, he is a sent one. He is an apostle. And that is a lovely verse because it brings before us, it's all the subject of love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but we don't. He commanded love from us. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind." And men fail them in that commandment. It is not that we love God. That isn't what saves us. It's not our love to God. It's not our devotion to God. It's his love and his devotion to us in sending his Son. Herein is love. Here it is really expressed. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It reminds us of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And how wonderfully true that is. And so he was sent on a mission as an ambassador, as a minister. And in Mark chapter 10, in verse 45, we read these words, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He tells us exactly why he came. "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Now that's a mission. He was sent on a mission. And he was sent to give his life a ransom for many. On our last broadcast, we spoke of Elihu in the book of Job, speaking of the fact that God says, "Let him go, deliver him. I have found a ransom," and that ransom was his son. Now, a ransom is a sum of money that is paid for the release of another. Now, it was not money that changed hands at the cross. Christ gave his precious blood to save us from our sin. That was the price of our redemption. His blood. His blood that was shed there was the price for our sins. That was what he was willing to pay to bring us to God. That's what God was willing to pay. He gave his only son. He gave him completely, absolutely, as a sacrifice for you and for me. I don't know how that makes you feel. It makes me feel very humble. It makes me feel very insignificant that God would do a thing like that. And I wouldn't believe it, I'm telling you. I wouldn't believe it if it weren't in the Scriptures. But this is the Word of God that we're reading. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Oh, what a mission. But to minister. And that's what he did in this life below. He ministered to others constantly, all the time. Even to the fact that he lost his rest. He could not rest. They would throng him. And to give his life a ransom for many. Now that's a mission. And he was sent on a mission. Now in the third chapter of Hebrews, he is contrasted to Moses. As a matter of fact, all through the book of Hebrews, we have contrasts. I think probably the theme word, the key word for the book of Hebrews is the word better. It is used so frequently. Christ is better. Now he is compared here with Moses. And let's read the connection now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. But now here comes a contrast. For this man was counted worthy of more glory, and that's a word of comparison, more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, which is better, a servant or a son? Christ is a son. He was given as a son. Now, Moses was sent as an apostle from the land of Midian. God saw him in the burning bush. God spoke to him, rather, out of the burning bush. Moses saw the burning bush. And he sent him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was an apostle. Not spoken of verbatim in the scriptures, but that's exactly what he was. He was sent. But this apostle was sent not as a servant, but as a son. God gave his son for you and for me as our apostle. Now let's think of him, if you please, in the respect that he is also our high priest. And here again, he is compared as our high priest to Aaron, the brother of Moses. How striking. Now we read in chapter 2 of the epistle to the Romans, or epistle to the Hebrews, I'm sorry. We read in chapter 2, two sets of sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be in the form of review, but we need to consider them if we're going to consider him as our great high priest. In verse 9 of chapter 2, we read, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now here is some strange language. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That is strange language. It became him. Did anything become the Son of God? This became him. Now notice, please, down in verse 17 of that chapter. We read there, wherefore in all things it behooved him. Well, here's the same language again. Listen, please. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered. Now here again we have that word. We have suffering in verse 9, and we have suffering in verse 18. I'll finish the verse. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now the sufferings of verse 9 are vicarious. Christ suffered for you and for me. Now his sufferings in verse 18 are not vicarious. They're not our sufferings, but they are for the benefit of our consideration, for he is spoken of there as our faithful high priest. And that's why in after chapter 2, we get into Hebrews chapter 3, and it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle," verse 9 of chapter 2, his sufferings there, "and high priest," that's chapter verse 18 of chapter 2, "and of our profession." Now you see, he is our apostle and high priest. Now we're told to consider him. That's a strong word. Weigh well. Think about him. We have an apostle, not Moses. We have a high priest, not Aaron, because our high priest never dies. In the Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 5 rather, we have the Aaron's duties outlined before us. Here they are. "Every high priest is taken from among men, and he is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, and that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices. Who can have compassion on the ignorant?" Here's the duties of a high priest. "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself is also encompassed with infirmity." Now he offers gifts and sacrifices. Now let's go to our Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to Aaron died. He had to be replaced. Our Lord Jesus Christ has an eternal priesthood. He never dies. You know, the children of Israel had to get used to a high priest. When the old high priest died and the new one came on, they had a right to wonder. I wonder if he's going to be as faithful, if he's going to be as concerned with our interests as was his father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to raise questions about that. He is concerned. We read in the fourth chapter. Listen to these words, please. "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are." We read it in chapter 2. He suffered those things, yet without sin. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You and I, Christian, child of God, you and I have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Let's go to him and receive our strength from him. Our Father, today we thank you for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in caring so wonderfully for us. In his name, amen.